This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Can't we praise God just for that? Hallelujah. When we pledge our faith to Jesus, we become brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and we are not the same people anymore. We are not the same people. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we get to start over. As if from scratch, our old ugly lives and selfish ways are forgotten. At least they should be. And we are brand new. Aren't you so thankful for that this morning? Think about that. We all have plenty of days that we could happily erase memories of bad choices that we made and poor decisions that we followed through. Every day we get to stand before our King. Hallelujah. Knowing that we are forgiven and that we are clean. There's no checklist to our sins and no faults, no remembering. The worst is over, the mistakes. Instead, there is tender love of our Father's heart flowing down in abundance upon us.
Amen.
Making us new. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of forgiveness and for making me fresh and making me new at conversion. We do not merely turn a new leaf. We begin a new life under a new master. Not only are believers changed from within, but a whole new order of creative power begins with Christ. I love this. God always, always brings us back to himself, reconciles us by blotting out our sins. Hallelujah. We just got to pray. He will pray to God, and God will delight in him. That person will see his face with a shout of joy, and God will restore his righteousness to him. Thank you, Jesus. It's easy to become overwhelmed by expectations. We want to all fit in. We want to all belong. But the formula is constantly changing. And it's hard to know whose standards we should shoot for. Family, work, friends, society, social media. Who decides what's acceptable? What must we do in order to be accepted by God? That's the important thing right there. Must we have our acts together, our sinful habits conquered, our church attendance perfect? No, we've got to pray. We've got to pray to God, and he is the one that will welcome us at our worst time.
Yes,
he
amen.
Sees you. He hears you, and he invites you into his joyful presence. We need to ask the Father to help us remember his standards of acceptance that matters the most. We need to pray. We need to thank the Father for loving us just the way that we are. Not the way that people see us or the way people want us to be, but just the way that God wants us to be. So this new year, I'm going to repeat this verse again. So this is the new year for each and every one of us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That anyone, oh, thank you, Jesus, that belongs to Christ has become a new person. And the old life is gone and a new life begins. From this time on, hallelujah, we choose who we're going to serve. He's our master this morning. He always will be our master. And it's his standards that we want to follow, not nobody else's. It's God's word. It's his word. If we're following God's word, we're not going to make a lot of mistakes. Because anything that we may be going through, all we've got to do is sit down and look it up and find out, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to do this? Hallelujah. Father, we come to you this day, and Lord,
yes,
we give you all
God.
Praise and all glory.
Glory.
We know,
glory,
God, without
glory,
you,
glory.
We cannot do a thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
But, oh, God, we know that you're mighty.
Blessed be the
we
name
know,
of
God,
Lord.
Your presence is here. And
God,
we know, God, when we speak
way.
To you, that, Lord God Almighty,
oh,
you hear from us. And, oh, God, I thank you. I pray today, Lord Jesus, not one leave this building without sensing your presence and not knowing that you're here right with us.
Move,
I pray, God,
minister,
for each and every
Lord.
Person here today, Lord God. Let them be born again, Lord
Hallelujah.
God, and help us, Lord, to live your standards
yes,
in the name
God.
Of Jesus. Amen,
amen
and amen.
I heard once someone say that I'm going to be short. And that's not me. I normally don't preach calendar just because of a certain holiday or a day. My Christmas message was a little different. But today it's hard to keep from closing out one year and heading towards another. And I don't know what you've been feeling or thinking about now that Christmas is over with. You don't have to worry about what gift you're going to buy, what party is next on your list of parties to go to, family gatherings. But we must not think that it's going to be same as usual. Because if we do same as usual, you'll get same as usual. As you look back on 2025, do you see areas of your life that have improved? Areas of your life that need more improvement? Some of us have been taken to the woodshed. He said that, I didn't. If you didn't hear, we'll get it on tape. And there's some that need to be taken to the woodshed. But I wasn't looking at anybody. Just everybody. Amen. First and foremost, I want you to turn with me to the book of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. There's new things coming for the new year. Some of us need to realize that we need to get up, brush the dust off, and get with the program. And what I mean by that is, in the book of Acts, these are Jesus' words. If you turn with me to 1:8. You have heard from John the Baptist about water baptism, and Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, which is the beginning of the new church, the dispensation of grace begun through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." If you continue on into chapter 2, you see verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what we today call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is not the gift. It's being endued with power to be a witness, to speak your mind with power, with the authority and boldness that God gives to you. We're to be witnesses. We've got a task ahead of us in 2026. And we went out and saw Sister Perry. She can't wait to get back. And I'll never forget her saying again that, you know, they sent me here to die. But God has a different plan. You may think your job is over with, but I'm here to tell you it's just beginning. Because you're crucial to the success of LPA. For those new ones that are here, LPA just stands for Lighthouse Pentecostal Assembly. That's the church building that you're sitting in. And that's all it is a building. You're the church. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost to accomplish in these end times. Amen? What God needs to accomplish. You see all across the United States and even into other countries since Charlie Kirk's been murdered, the revival that's beginning in young people. But that revival is also sparking in older ones, middle age, over the hill gang. I got my hair, so I'm all right. It might be gray, but the Bible calls that wisdom. I'm so wise. Help me, Lord Jesus. And before we could get out of her room, she began to share with me, you know, Pastor Tracy, she's only been here a few months and has grabbed a hold of what we're trying to do and accomplish. And God's working and helping her right there where she's at in the nursing home. God's got a plan for her just like He's got a plan for us. Amen. I don't know exactly how He's going to do it, but I know He's going to do it. Because we've been reading some scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14, 15, and 16. Every service on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. We'll continue to do that until we see that revival spark here. And when we see the revival, we'll know it. We'll definitely know it. But God wants to use you and me and anybody else that's willing. Over the years, I've preached a couple different messages, and even this year, I hit briefly on both of these. I preached a series entitled LUI, Living Under the Influence. And those of you that were, remember, you're already starting to do that. You raise your finger to the Lord, and over your head you draw a circle. And then you ask the Lord to fill that circle. Guess what that's going to do? Nothing unless you get off that chair that you're sitting on and put the legs to in actions to the work. But you ask the Lord to fill that circle. Influence me to influence others. And that's all really Charlie Kirk's message was. A message of hope that, yeah, as God uses him, he can use anybody. Amen. In the Fullness of Time was another message that I preached this year. Now's the time. Right here, right now. It's our generation that will see the coming of the Lord and usher in the new kingdom of God. Don't get too excited now. Do you believe that? Yeah, Pastor, I've heard it for years. Yeah, but we're a day closer and a day smarter. Amen. Another one I preached was One Accord and the Anointing. We need to be in one accord, one mind, one heart, one spirit, to see what God is going to do for 2026. Look out, devil, here we come. Amen. A precious lady that I don't know, I wouldn't venture to try and guess her age, Sister Perry. But we've known her for years. And she's still got that bubbly spirit. And that bubbly spirit is contagious. She says, "No, Pastor, I think of what you're talking about revival. I'm expecting revival to come to Lighthouse. I'm expecting revival to come to Ashland, Ohio." And that's exactly, I said, amen, let's preach it. Let's get it together. And I've got a text message from another saint of God. And I'm going to have her elaborate on her text. Oh, yes. Sister Trish, go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor. This week and really the last two or three weeks, I have been trying very hard to compartmentalize what I needed to do. You know, we had a lot to do for Christmas and the holidays and all that. And I was trying to face just what was in front of me for the day and not worry too far in the future. But I couldn't help thinking about this next year and praying about this next year and thinking about all of the things that are coming up, you know. And I tried very hard not to worry about it because we were just talking about not worrying about things. And so I was talking that over with the Lord, and I was like, something feels weird, Lord. I don't know what this is. And so I shared with the pastor that I was kind of feeling that way, and that I feel like there's something happening, you know. And just in the last couple of minutes, I thought about the sermon that you preached. Well, I mean, I think it was like a whole year of a rumbling in the heavens and a shaking on the earth, that I feel like there's something going on in the spirit world that is going to affect us here, yeah. And that we've got to be ready for it. And the thing that I saw just 10 minutes ago was a wheel, like a water wheel, like you have at a mill, you know, and a stream is running through it, and it turns and makes power for whatever it is that it's attached to. I just saw that a minute ago. Like there's a flowing that is going to generate a power, and we're on the other end of that plug. We've got to be ready to plug into that and use it. And so I apologize if I'm rambling. I know he didn't want me to think about this too much. He wanted me to just share it off my heart. And so I didn't. And so this is what happens. But
ramble on, sister.
So I said to him in this text message, I said, because you know why? I share things with him because, not because I think that what I have to say is so awesome that he needs to know it, but I do think that our shepherd, number one, needs to be encouraged that he's not the only one looking out. And I also think that he needs to know what the Spirit is saying to all of us so that not only does it confirm to whatever the Spirit is saying to him, but also so that he has some concept of what's happening with us and can pray for us. And so I think that's really important, and I love that he's open to that. But I said to him, I feel like something's happening that, you know, we have for years been constantly feeling like we're on the edge of something, that revival's about to come, mm-hmm. or something's about to happen, but that this feels different, that this year coming to us feels like something is going to move. And my thought was, at the time that I texted it, I said, it's almost a worrisome thing, like when there's a storm brewing, but then eventually you end up grateful for the rain. But then the second thing I said to him was grateful for the rinse. And that actually was more correct. Because then as I said that to him, I was thinking about, like, usually like right around March or April, everything's just looks so gloomy and everything's mm-hmm. covered in road salt. And, you know, even the air looks kind of gray. And then all of a sudden that first spring storm comes in and rinses everything. And all the colors look bright again. And all the houses look clean again. That was the moment that I was trying to express, I think. And so that's what's in my head, is that, and in my heart, that there are things coming that we might initially look at as being bad or frightening or concerning, but we will turn around, they will turn around, and we will go, oh, we're so glad that happened. And so my thing for this year is to be ready to act, but not to overreact and not to react. Just to be watchful and try not to get upset about things and panic over things, because they're gonna work out. But to be ready to move when that storm moves in and something has to happen, something needs to be done, something needs to be taken care of, to be ready to move. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I hope that's what you had in mind.
Exactly. Where two or three agree on any one thing, it shall be done. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me also. The reason I wanted her to share her, I didn't respond to her. I didn't say anything back to her. Because the first thought was, let it ponder in my heart. And I didn't finally decide to ask her to say anything until just before service, while the worship team was practicing. But turn with me to Isaiah 43. Another one of the sermons I preached was the living under the influence factor. And if we allow the Holy Ghost to influence us, if we allow the Word of God to influence us, if we let our relationship with our Lord and Savior and our friend and soon coming King, that influences us in the right direction. But Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God will do what needs to be done. And it's exactly how it needs to be done as well. So we need to remember, it's God's timing for a new year that we're heading into. The purpose of today's sermon is to motivate all that hear this sermon and to seek a new vision and a new interest in things of God. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It can be a couple months. It can be a couple years. It can be a couple decades. It doesn't matter. We can still learn new things. And we better be learning new things. Amen. But it must be the things of God, not ploys and tactics of the world. Isaiah's writings to the children of God came at a bleak period of time in their life, in their history. They're in captivity. They've lost everything that they thought they would keep forever and ever. And they were homesick for the land and the blessing God had promised them. What are you looking forward to? We have to remember that we must keep our eyes upon the promise of eternity. Because soon and very soon, we're going to see the King face to face. Mano y mano. Some of you younger ones will have to Google that one. But understand that the promises of God are yea and amen. It's a done deal. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, He sets us free. But there's some things that we need to understand that need to happen leading into 2026. We need to change your focus, your direction. But more importantly, some of you need an attitude adjustment. The woodshed again? You kind of get my drift? Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Do you look at a glass half full or half empty? Because if you look at half empty, you're looking at something you don't have. But with the Lord, little is much. And great things can be done. Amen. We need to change our focus. There's too many shiny objects around us that get our attention. My wife is a good one for this. She gets four projects going at once. We need to know what occupies most of our time. Because what occupies that time influences us. We need to know what occupies most of our talents, our energy, our attention, our money, our habits, good and bad habits, and etc. Why? Because those are the things that control you. God says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Think about that one. What do you need to change? I'm not talking about resolutions. I'm totally against that. But I do believe in setting goals. Those are marks that you're trying to shoot for. Some of the things over the next few weeks, you're going to be amazed at what I think we can do as a body of Christ here in Ashland, Ohio. We need to make the thing happen. Forget those things that failed. Forget those things that didn't ponder as or work out like you've been pondering upon them. But remember, things control you. What can control you? The Word of God. So it's important for us to read, to study, to prepare our hearts for services like today. WOW meeting on Monday night. Brothers Keepers breakfast the last Saturday of each month. You say, well, what do I want to do that for? Because it's a time that we can get together and we can minister one to another. Amen? Amen? I'm not the only one that worries about you, prays for you, wants the best care for you. We've got ministry leaders Refuge is another one on Thursday. You need to prepare. You need to study. You need to read. You need to get your heart right with the Lord. The second thing that I want you to remember this year, we need to quit looking behind and start looking forward. Verse 18 of our text, there is absolutely nothing to go back to. Sometimes I sit and think about the way I once was. The long hair don't care. And I think, what if the last 42 years of our lives would have still been that same old Paul Tracy and Karen Tracy? Well, probably we wouldn't be together because we were heading that way to begin with. But thanks be to God. God had another plan. I never thought I'd be standing here before you. And don't tell me God can't use a donkey, because he's been using me for 23 years now. Will be going on 23 years. Wow. No wonder I have gray hairs. 2 Peter 2, 20, 21, and 22. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And that's talking about those who return back to their old ways and habits. That's not my opinion. That's God's word. Look it up. Read it for yourself. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. You've heard me say, you play around the pig pen long enough, sooner or later you're going to fall in. Amen? We need to quit looking back. Nothing behind us is good, but everything looking forward is fantastic and great. Number three, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Philippians 3, 13, 14, and 15 says, brethren, I do not count myself have to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything in you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. There's more than one in here that can trust and believe God. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. If you're continually looking behind, you cannot see where you're going or what is ahead of you. And you see these commercials where they're walking with their phones, walk into the fountains, the manhole, the roadside signs. We need to keep focused. Focus, focus, focus. What's the advice for today? You need to focus. Focus on Him. Focus on what you can do for the kingdom of God. You also cannot depend upon past victories to sustain you today. Those victories are there for our remembrance. We sometimes call them memorials. But those won't sustain us for today. We've got to have enough grace for today to get us through. Amen. The children of Israel had many victories to their credit. Deliverance from Egyptian bondage, conquering the land of Canaan, finding prospective conquerors, yes, even a split in their own country. But all those victories were not doing a thing to set them free from their captivity. They needed a new work, a new miracle, and a new victory. The question isn't what God has done. The question must be, what is God going to do in my life right now, right here, for this hour? We can't look too far ahead, because that's just as bad as looking behind. Because we can miss a miracle or a blessing real quick. And God doesn't want that. One accord and the anointing for 2026. Individual revival is the first step in your new thing. Meaning that's your living under the influence. God is still a gentleman. Just because you get filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean hurtful and harmful and bad things will not happen to you. But you look at things a little differently. That's the power that God gives to His children. Experience and the LUI factor. He makes a difference. Today I want you to discover what God wants for you. You must see possibilities as God sees them. Because He sees the big picture. He knows what you're going to be facing. God is able to transform the desert areas of your life into fields of blessings and abundance. Let Him do a new thing in you this year. God, help us to be that light, that beacon of hope to all those around about us. I'm going to give you a little heads up this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God's going to do some new things. And one thing is He's going to bring new souls to be saved, to be sanctified, to be separated and set apart from this world, and also to be baptized in the Holy Ghost fire and power with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Next week, I'm going to preach on the theme for the year of 2026. What a battle, what a fight. It's been these last few months. Praying about, reading, getting concordances out, studying, talking with my helpmeet. I tried to figure out acronym that fit 2026, the word six. What biblical word can you find that starts with X? It wasn't happening. I couldn't find one that rhymed with word, or what word rhymed with six either. But I believe that God gave it to me, just like I believe bless you. A beacon of hope to our community. That's our theme for, or our motto for Lighthouse Pentecostal Assembly. But the theme for 26 is going to be a mission of purpose. Everything that you see, will hear from this pulpit will be with a reason, a direction. Every ministry leader will bring forth this vision in their ministries. Because God has set us apart for this hour in which we live in. 2026 theme, a mission of purpose, will be accomplished by seeking His presence, seeking His power, seeking His hope, seeking His strength, and seeking His grace, while still living out our faith purposefully. There'll be a reason why you open up your mouth and witness to someone. And that goal is to get them saved. All we are told is we're fishers of men. We're going to become great fishermen. And it won't be with hands of man upon us. It will be the Spirit of God leading us, guiding us in direction. A mission of purpose. God still has a plan for everyone. But most importantly, He has a purpose for you. And we're going to help you find your purpose in this body of Christ. Amen. I want you to stand with me. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. It will be the scripture that will go with this. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Unity, being in one accord, is part of that purpose. We need to stop thinking it's an obligation. We have to do it. We want to do it. Remember back when you were miserable and life in sin and darkness, and then you come to the light, and Jesus forgave you of your sins, and you felt such a burden lift away? Quit doing things to put that burden back on you. Especially you young people. God can use you guys. Who's your circle of friends? You can always remember Galatians chapter 5. I think it starts about 15 or 16 and goes through 21, 22. Verse. He first leads out with things that will make it to heaven. And then he finishes out the things that won't make it to heaven. If your friends are in part of one or the other of those, whether or not they're a keeper or not. Brother Allen knows about keepers. We have regulations that the fish has to be this size, or you throw them back. I want you to be a keeper. Amen. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost do the work inside you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you today for closing out a year as such as we've had. New projects that we've done, old projects that we have redone. We know, God, that you're doing a work. God, you see our struggles in ministry. You're going to send good workers to help. And Father, you're going to raise up some new ones. Father, let your will be done. We come to you in one mind, one heart, one spirit, asking you to saturate us, to influence us, your children. The hope of this world is in us. And we look forward to what you're going to do. Today, Lord, you can accomplish all things. We've got a mission of purpose. Seeking your presence, your power, your hope, your strength, and your grace. And just seeking your face. Will minister to us. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar has been open since we started, or before we started, really. Stop looking backwards and look forwards. If you need prayer, I don't care what it's for. Even if it's a world famous, it's me again, Lord, kind of prayer. Let him do a new thing in you. Get over that fence. Break through that wall, that barrier. Let God have it today. We sang about victory in most of our songs. I'm glad we can dance on the grave. Dance on the chains that have been broken and laying on the ground. Dance in the night away. With the light of hope and peace and comfort. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. There's nothing like good old-fashioned grace to get a hold of us, to help us. Anybody need prayer? Maybe you need the Holy Ghost. You don't understand it. I still know God's working it out. Maybe you need a healing in your body, like Sister Karen.